All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to celebrate all that you're doing. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful babies. What a beginning of a great life, a new birth. But I thank you that you're still birthing new things in and through us. And so as we come today, we come expecting, we come looking for you to shine the light of your truth into our hearts, guiding us, encouraging us, strengthening us, empowering us by your power of your spirit. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory, and we just decree your best over each and every person's life today as we obey you, look to you, follow you. You are doing the impossible, Lord Jesus, and we give you the praise. And everyone shouted?
Amen.
Amen. And amen. We're starting a new series today, and we're going to be talking about the covenant. Say the covenant. And that really is kind of like a churchy-sounding word. It was used in King's English, but it literally means not only covenant, but contract. Say contract.
Contract.
It helps us to understand, when we look at the terms of a contract, what deal we're in. If you go to buy a car, you go buy a house. If you get a credit card, they all come with the context of a contract. And if you read that contract, you'll find the terms that you're operating with between you and the person on the other side of that contract. So you need to know what the interest rate is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You need to know not only the introductory 1.9%, but if you missed a payment, what does it jump to? Because if you don't read the contract, they can legally take you from 1.9 to 29.9 and get you in so deep you can never get out without the help of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the contract has terms and defines for us what that agreement, that arrangement is supposed to look like. And if you forget, someone can come say, no, here's the terms of the contract. You're supposed to pay on this date. You're supposed to pay this much, or here's what we'll do. See, but God wanted you to have a contract, but a better contract than the old contract. There's old contracts you can get out of. God had a better contract than the old covenant made on better promises. One of the benefits of it, and we're going to spend this whole series talking about the different benefits of or the different terms of that contract. But one of the benefits of it is that it is a contract of power for your benefit. It is a contract not of weakness but of power, a good contract that is backed by God's power. That's important to know, because if you had a child, and I shared this last week, I believe in the first service, but in this third service, if you've had a child that was hungry and they came to you and said, I am so hungry, do you have anything? And you go, sure, I got some food, and you make a sandwich and give it to them, and then right next to them stood a bully that every time you gave them something, the bully took it from them. You're providing, but they're still hungry. You're providing, but they're still hungry. Well, eventually you're going to figure out we need to do something about the bully.
Right.
And when you understand the terms of the contract, that it is a contract of power, because John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus is providing life. The bully's trying to take life from you.
Yes.
And so you need power to enforce the contract. See, a thief doesn't operate with the boundaries of law. If a thief worked within the boundaries of what is legal, then he would or she would not be a thief any longer. A thief does not follow the boundaries. But a person that understands the boundaries and has the power to enforce the boundaries can override the intentions of a thief.
That's right.
I'm trying. We're working on it. We're slowly warming up. So somebody who's trying to break in and steal in your house, they know it's against the law, but another law is not going to reinforce their behavior. They need a stronger person than them that knows the law to reinforce to them that they can't go into your house and steal. If you don't know the boundaries and you don't understand the power, the thief will come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And in some circles, they'll blame God. Oh, God did that. God took my baby. God didn't take those children. I guess he wanted a few more angels, so he took your child. God doesn't kill children. Did you hear me? God does not kill children. God does not put sickness on people. We've been taught that in some church circles. Oh, God just wants to get some glory, so he's going to put something on you to suffer. Where is that? That is not in the Bible. That is not. You know what gives glory to your Heavenly Father? John 15, verse 7, 8, and 16 says, you producing much fruit. This is what gives glory to your Heavenly Father. That fruit is a direct connection of the seed, Matthew 13, of God's word that goes into your heart and brings a change from the inside out, that what God has spoken for you, to you, through you, it begins to change on the inside of you, and that change doesn't stay there. That change doesn't stay there. That change changes your attitude, your outlook, how you make decisions, how you live your life, and all of a sudden it begins to affect those things around you, and it doesn't stay there. God moves beyond that and begins to impact the people around you. He wants you blessed, but he wants you to be a blessing. See, some circles, they'll just celebrate the idea of what God wants. But if all you do is celebrate the idea, you can't share it. And the system of God is for you not only to receive it, but to share it. Freely you have received, freely give. But if you don't have any money to give, then you can't share it.
That's right.
Simple truth, but powerful. If you have no love, you can't share it. You have no peace, you can't share it. You can only share what you have. And God will bless you to be a blessing. God will bless you in every area of life to be a blessing. It's more, listen, it's more than just quantity. Some church circles, it's all about the bling. And it's all about the gold and the shiny. Listen, there's a lot of people with gold. There's a lot of people with a quantity, but they have no quality. See, God's not against you having a lot. God wants to do it in his way. He says he'll give you power to get wealth, and he'll add no sorrow to it. You strive to do what God's promising your way, the world's way, you can end up with a lot of money, but a lot of heartache, a lot of regret, a lot of disappointment, a lot of pressure. And there's a lot of people that have stuff, but they're miserable on the inside because they didn't do it God's way. You do it God's way, he can give you quantity, but even more important, quality. And he'll have, your heart will be right, your conscience will be clear, and you're sharing it, you're generous. It's not out of compulsion, because you're a cheerful giver, because you know that everything that you have, like David said, what can I give you, God, that didn't come from you anyway? So God wants you to be a blessing, not just financially. We talk that way because people relate to money. But every area, some people give money, but they're just hateful. They need to share a little mercy. Some people need to share a little forgiveness. Wasn't Jesus talking about the man who was forgiven a little bit, and then the king said, I'm going to throw you in prison, and he said, give me mercy, and the king said, all right, I'll give you mercy. For basically like $300 you owe me, for that like $300,000 you owe me, and then he went away and found somebody that owed him 50 bucks, and they said, you owe me 50 bucks. Give me, I don't have it. Give me mercy. No mercy for you. Throw him in prison. And the servants heard what he did, and went and told the master, and the master called him back and said, if I forgave you $300,000 and you can't forgive somebody $50? Come on, somebody. See, it's just not money. It's the rhythm of God. What he's putting into your life, he wants you to receive it. He wants you to not only hold on to it, but he wants you to share it. He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. And the blessing that I'm sharing through you will be greater than you can count. The people you will impact will be more than you can count. But we have to understand, it's like in sports. You watch sports, play sports. If you're going to win in the game, you have to know the rules. You don't get on a basketball court and kick the ball like a soccer ball. It won't work. You have to understand the boundaries. And one of the boundaries we want to look at is, again, that this contract that Jesus has for you, this new covenant that was created by his blood being shed, it is a good contract. It is a better contract, but it's also a powerful contract.
Amen.
It's not weak. It's not weak. Let's look at this verse. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him, talking about the devil, talking about the bully. And they overcame him by the
blood
of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. and they loved not their life unto death. They overcame. Victory was established by the boundaries of the contract. That's what that's talking about. The blood of Jesus. The established contract. The terms of that contract. So when the devil whispers, you can say, wait a minute. No, no, no. Let me explain to you the boundaries of the contract. When you don't know the boundaries, he'll step in and steal, kill, and destroy. And you'll think, oh, I guess God wants me to do this. I guess God wants this to happen. I guess, you know, you go to some churches, God love them. They need the light. We all need revelation on something. We're all growing. Nobody's perfect, right? But some, they need the revelation that you're not called to be a victim. You go there long enough, you start thinking, oh, life is just barely making it through. I'm just hanging on by a thread, hoping one day just to get to heaven, and I'll barely make it. No, no, God didn't call you to just barely make it through. God called you to overcome. God has called you to be a victor. God's called you to triumph. Now, I'm telling you, we have been so shaped by the world system and the problems of our past and the problems of our life, and we think, well, you know, sometimes you win a little, you lose a little. That's just the way it is. Well, that's the way the world works, but you're not of the world. You're to come out from the world. That doesn't mean you got to look weird. That means that your lifestyle should be different. God didn't cause you to win just a few times and lose a few times. No, the Bible says, thanks be, check it out, don't take my word for it. Thanks be to God who always. Why you keep saying? Because we need to keep hearing it. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus. Religion will tell you different. Life will tell you different, and you can settle for what they're saying or begin to believe the word of God, the report, and get to a place where you are living in victory. It doesn't mean you're not living with battles. It's not that you're living without struggles. Listen, if you think because you're serving God, everybody's going to love you and everything's going to go your way, no, there's going to be battles regardless. But even in the battle, the Bible says we can give thanks even with our request. Give thanks into his name. And I'll tell you what, and the peace of God, Philippians 4 tells us, verse 6 and 7, the peace of God which exceeds your understanding will keep your heart, soul, and mind. What am I to through Christ Jesus? What am I telling you? You may look like your neighbors, but you don't battle like your neighbors because you are a child of God. We don't war like the rest of the world wars. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing to try to exalt the self and knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible didn't say feel strong. It said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, your DNA is to win. Say, my DNA from God is winning every time, every day. Anything that comes in conflict with that should cause you to want to stand up, rise up, and say, wait a minute, that's not right. I might have been knocked down in this round, but that's not right. I'm called to be a winner. I'm called to be the head and not the tail. My spiritual seed from my Father, because the Bible says when you get saved, that his seed, his nature, his DNA is on the inside of you, and that thing is supposed to grow up like an apple seed produces apples, a winning seed produces a winner. You are not called to fail. You might be failing today, but get back up. Get back up. Get back up. You're not called to lose. You're not called to fail. You're called to win. Hey, I know even Even religious people get this wrong sometimes. You can go to some churches so long, you walk out just feeling down and discouraged, and I'm a victim. I have no control, no authority. I can't do anything about it. I just get beaten up. Dan, how are you doing? The world's beating me up. I can't do anything but just try to survive. I'm just trying to hang on. I'm trying to survive until I get to heaven. I'm telling you, that's not the plan of your Father. You're called to make a change. You're called to overcome. You're called to conquer. You're called to be the head. You're called to be the light. You're called to let the world know that this thing is not religion. It's not just going to church. It's not just trying to be a better person. That Jesus is alive. He is well, and he is all powerful. Hey! Look at 2-3 people, say, I'm going to win. I don't know what battle you're dealing with, and some of you can't even say to 2 or 3. You barely said I could win to one person, and you're in sit-down, don't even feel right. You got to look, come on, say to 2 or 3 people, I'm going to win. I don't know what you are fighting. I don't know what you are feeling. I don't know what you are facing. But I know that the God who is more than enough is well able. If he made the promise, Romans 4, that said to Abraham, did not consider his own body now dead, being 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise is well able. He's well able to bring you to the winner's circle. He's well able. You just follow him. You do what he shows you. He is well able. I call you blessed today, and I speak the anointing of victory, and I'm telling you, the anointing of victory over your house today. Whatever battles you face, you walk in with confidence that this is not the end. This is just the opportunity to see God do what only God can do. And David said to Goliath, you might be big and strong, but I want you to know that you haven't come against just me, but you've come against and defied the armies of the living God. And this day, he is putting you into my hands, and I'm going to cut your head off. I just want you to know that I'm going to deal with all the other soldiers. Just want you to know, and all the nations will know that there is a God in Israel. Shout, I'm a winner! I'm telling you. Go ahead, be seated. 1 John, let's throw that verse up. 1 John chapter 4 says this. You are of God. See, don't take my word for it. Let's challenge everything with the word of God. But I've always been told, well, if it didn't line up with the word of God, just consider you not having the opportunity to hear it differently, hear it correctly, and throw the old behind you, move on to the new life that God has for you. Because if you're not careful, religious people, which I define as people that try to control and make rules to get to God, it won't happen. I don't care what your tradition of where you came out of tells you. Some people can tell me what their denomination believes, but they don't know what the Bible says. Look at this. You are of God, little children, and have what? And have what?
Overcome.
If you're of God, then you're designed to overcome. Yes. If you're a child of God, the seed of victory is on the inside of you. Yes. This whole series, we're going to talk about understanding the parameters and how to access what belongs to you. Most people, that when they face a giant, when they face a problem, they are intimidated. Yes. They're afraid, and they can't figure out why they're not winning. Because you don't fight when you're afraid. Let me tell you are built to worship God. You are built to make a difference, but you are also built to bring war against the enemy. And people who are good at war, you got to study how war works. Yeah. It's just not a matter, oh, there's a threat, let's do it. Watch how any great nation, how they go to battle. They don't attack until they're ready. Right. You don't let the enemy decide when you fight. You tell him, you sit there and shut up and I'll be back and I'll take care of you when I'm ready to take, but I'm not. Because have you noticed the enemy never attacks you at a strong point. He only attacks you at a weak point. David, when he In his worst moment, he pursued God. He come back after they told him, we're not going to let you fight with us. He went back to his little town, Ziklag, and all of a sudden, his town had been burned. The wives and kids were gone, and his mighty men that went to battle with him now turned on him. But the Bible says, I mean, that's a discouraging moment. You didn't see it coming. Have you ever noticed battles don't give you 3-day notice? Wouldn't it be nice if you got a 3-day notice? You didn't see it coming. And even the people you trusted now are turning on you. You ever had somebody turn on you that you trusted? Just two of us? The rest of you lying? Look around, look around, look around, look around. It's called life. It's called people. It's just, it happens to everybody. John 2, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in humanity. I'm telling you, you can start worshiping humanity and then you get all upset when it don't work out. Even when good people do bad things, you can still love them because your eyes are on Jesus, not on them. So what did David do? He didn't get, you know, he didn't freak out. He went and encouraged himself in the Lord. God showed him what to do when he had the light of the assignment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. When he followed the light of the assignment, he had victory. You're designed to win. Notice, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say, my DNA, is to win. Thank you, my friend. First John chapter 5. Notice this. For whatsoever is born of God, here's another verse just so you don't think I'm taking something out of context. For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God, how many children of God, how many born again believers? For whosoever is born of God, notice, does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. What is the plan, from God's perspective, what is the plan for you with battles? It's to win. Say, it's to win. Say, it's to win. Say, I'm a winner. Your DNA. A lot of people approach problems and they get intimidated. David wasn't intimidated at the size of the giant. David was charged up by the opportunity from God. What's the reward? Can you imagine the first thing you ask is, what's the reward to the guy who takes this giant? When you are intimidated, you're not yet in a position of strength. When you start getting this in your heart, I'm telling you, get this, listen to it, listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing. And all of a sudden, you keep listening. And all of a sudden, inside, on the inside, you start changing your perspective. Wait a minute. I might have failed. Maybe everything you've ever done in your whole life has been a failure. I'm telling you, that's in conflict with your natural DNA from God. And all of a sudden, something on the inside is going to start, wait a minute, I'm not using my past experience to validate who I am. I'm not using the people's opinions to dictate who I am. I'm going to choose, wait a minute, I'm not called to fail. I'm not called to lose. I maybe have done something wrong in the past because I haven't seen victory all the time, but I know my destiny, my design, my DNA is to win every battle. Every battle. Can we throw up the next verse? Every battle. Say every battle. Every battle. These things have I spoken unto you that, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Are you listening to me? You can win and still have peace on the inside. See, the world, when they have troubles on the outside, the turmoil on the outside gets on the inside. When you start dealing with that, then you're just fighting like they fight. It's like shadow boxing. You're swinging at nothing because you're trying to hit people, and it's not the people, it's the problem. And when you understand who the problem is, you can deal with it. Be of good cheer. Peace. Good cheer. Can you imagine going through a challenge and having peace on the inside? Can you imagine walking through a turmoil situation, a OMG moment, a battle of the life, you might say, and you can lay your head on your pillow and rest because you have peace? Let's take a little farther since the Bible is true. Can you imagine falling asleep in peace and waking up with good cheer? Didn't it just say there? But be of. Can you imagine waking up with a smile on your face? Your spouse or your neighbors or your friends say, what are you doing? You're too happy. They just said they might be laying you off. And if you lose that job, you're going to lose everything. What are you going to do? You can get overwhelmed trying to figure out the hows of what hasn't happened yet, or you can focus on the who sees all things and gives you power, and you keep focusing on who instead of the how. Ooh, I'm giving thanks to the who because he is good and his mercy endures forever. He sees a bird fall out of the tree. He's numbered the hairs on my head. This has not gone overlooked. I trust him so much. He shows me what to do and I obey. Can you imagine laying your head on a pillow and you go to sleep in a peaceful sleep? You wake up with a smile on your face to the point that people who don't know God say, what is going on? I bet they lost their mind. I can tell they lost their mind. They must be on drugs. No one's that happy without drugs. I'm telling you, you are designed to win in every battle. See, when we understand that the boundaries of the contract starts off out of the heart of God, that you are called to win. We'll talk more later. We don't got time today. But this is, you are called to win. Don't be afraid of a good fight. Quit being a sissy. Sometimes people have thought being spiritual means being soft-spoken. Really? I don't think so. You are strong in the Lord. And even if you feel weak, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong in the Lord. You are in your prime. Your best days are right now. It's getting brighter and brighter, Proverbs 4. The path of the righteous, the path of the just shines brighter and brighter until that completed day. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus.
Now give him a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hey! Will you be so kind to bow your head and close your eyes if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not into religion. That's what I define as man's rules to get to God. It will not happen. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open up, if you give me an opportunity, I'll come in. You do what you're supposed to do, he does what only he can do. Salvation is a great experience because if God is real, and he is, and if he can do anything, and he can, don't you think that he would make himself so real to you today that you can know without any question, shadow, or doubt that he's real and that he's your personal Lord and Savior? So if you're here and this is the first time you heard the gospel or you need to come back to the Lord, we're all going to pray this prayer together. But if you need him, open up. Let this prayer come from your heart. Say this with me. Say, God, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness today. I've received that real relationship today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer, you can say, you know, Pastor, I know that prayer was probably for a lot of different people, but one thing I know for sure, that prayer was for me. And I believe that I received something. Salvation, rededication, I've given my heart back to the Lord. If that's you, so I know who I was praying with. At the count of three, I want you to just simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. God bless you. I see the hand, second, third hand. God bless you. Fourth, fifth, sixth.